93.3 WMMR, some Rush this morning. Steve, you're saying they paid a nice tribute in the Grammys to Neil last
night?
Yeah,
in the In Memoriam section, they had video playing of him playing the drums.
Wow, man. Yeah. 17 minutes after 7 o'clock, and then we have another, you know, tragic loss that took place yesterday. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. In the meantime, NJM Insurance Group traffic. Let's take a look. Kathy, what's up this morning?
The accident on the turnpike off to the shoulder at Bensalem eastbound is jammed because of it west on the Schuylkill Expressway. You're starting to slow from University to South Street, and then it's jammed from City Avenue out to Belmont eastbound side, slowing the Blue Road into Conshohocken and Montgomery to the Vine Expressway, 422 eastbound. So it's Oaks to 23 on the Blue Route, both directions, slowing Media to Route 1, 252 at Route 30 in Easttown Township. We've got an accident there to watch out for. And then in Abington Township, Route 73, Township Line Road at Meeting House Road, another accident. Stenton Avenue between Paper Mill and Bethlehem Pike on Springfield Township, an accident there. And then in New Jersey, expect delays on the 42 freeway northbound, slowing from Coles Road to 295, 55 northbound. That's jammed Deptford to the 42 freeway. This traffic report brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Prime members save on animal welfare certified organic whole turkeys at Whole Foods Market, just $2.99 per pound through January 28th while supplies last. Find more deals on the Whole Foods Market app. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kath. Well, we were all of us, everybody listening as well, blown away by the news of Kobe Bryant and the tragic death of him and eight other people yesterday. We started exchanging texts in the afternoon. I think it was Casey or Marissa was one of you guys was the first to send it out amongst our group, and I clicked on it, and you know I'm looking at it, and you know, and I was with my family when I got it, and I was like, oh my God! And of course, I had to share the news. And then I went on the Twitter account, and then a lot of people were commenting, wait a minute, this is hacked, TMZ site has been hacked, and so on. So I started searching around, and the news hadn't hit the main feeds yet. And I was like, well, maybe this is, you know, maybe this isn't
legit. Maybe it's not real. You know, that's exactly what I thought.
You want to approach it cautiously.
Yeah.
And then I saw the article in the Los Angeles Times and the New York Post, and I'm like, okay.
Verified.
This really happened.
Yeah.
And it was just horrible, man. And the numbers, as is with a lot of tragedies, the numbers increases because at first it was, you know, five people. And I was already like, oh, my God, that's a lot of people, you know, that died in this crash. And now it's up to nine. It's just, you know, just horrible. It just shocking. 41 years old, you know, I mean, that's and a 13-year-old. There were a couple of teenagers that were killed.
And listen, we you know, things like this pop up periodically, sadly, and they always throw you for a loop, and you find it hard to remember how you felt the last time. Yeah. So, I mean, the Neil Peart information came out of the blue, and that was one person, but obviously, you know, it was wild for you, Preston, and a lot of people were leveled by this. Here in this case, this story of him with his daughter, especially in light of video had just recently surfaced of him as clearly a very proud father.
Yeah.
Footage of him on Jimmy Kimmel talking about, I'm passing the baton to my daughter, and she's it. She's going to go all the way.
And how people would say to him, oh, you got to have a son to carry on your legacy. And he said that his daughter would kind of be like, nope, I got that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, the pride level.
Here's him talking about his three daughters on The Tonight Show. Here we go.
You have three little girls now?
Yeah, three little girls.
14?
14, 10, and 4 months.
4 months.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're both in the team no sleep right now.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah. But all girls, too, you know. There's no male figures in the house besides you?
Nope.
A dog, a pet, anything?
Well, there's one dog, but he's a dwarf lab, so he doesn't have much say-so in the house, I guess.
Say no.
Yeah.
Do you get to control the TV, or that's gone?
No.
Not
no, I think I do, until they actually come in the room and then it's
yeah.
Give it up!
Yeah, what are you watching now, like Team Nick and stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, we're big on Disney, man, so
exactly.
One of our favorite shows, Stuck in the Middle, we'll watch that all day long.
Yeah, I watch that too, it's just always
we're awesome. Singing the songs and stuff,
you're yeah, I know everything.
Kind of singing and dancing.
I'm happy, and I'm not saying it's bad at all, but I'm so happy I'm over Dora the Explorer.
Oh, yeah.
I love her. I love Backpack. I love the whole
Let's
thing.
Let's go.
No, stop. No, I'm never going to get out of my head.
Come on.
So he was full deep into being a dad of girls. And wow. We have a couple other clips before we go to our guest. Here's his final game in Philadelphia. This was in 2015. Here's a little bit of that.
At a 17 time.
This is our buddy Matt Cord doing the introduction, by the way. Let me back it up.
At a 17-time NBA All-Star, the third highest score in NBA history, the 2008 MVP, two-time NBA Finals MVP, five-time NBA champion, a 6'6 guard. 24, Kofi Bryant.
Boy, Matt really teamed it up for him.
That's a Philadelphia crowd, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I went to that game. It was exactly. During Camp Out for Hunger. I believe the Sixers were like 0-25 at that point. They started the season off terribly, but I knew that it was going to be Kobe's last game in Philly. And so I went across the parking lot and watched Kobe's last game in Philly. I sat way up high. But it was cool to be in the building for his last game in town.
That's amazing.
Here's a clip of him after the game thanking the fans.
This has been absolutely beautiful, you guys. I can't believe it's come to an end. You guys will always be in my heart. And I sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. No words can describe how I feel about you guys. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys. And I love you guys.
Wow.
He had some things in his past, but seemed like he was a really nice guy. So we had a friend who played with him at Lower Merion, and hadn't spoken to him in years. But when his mom passed away, Kobe sent flowers to the funeral.
Oh man!
Like he said he was still a nice guy, and we were talking to him yesterday about him, and he said very competitive, which is everybody
sure
knows that.
Expect.
But he said back then, like if our friend would miss a shot, he would go over to him and go, I'm going to kick your ass if you don't take this. Like,
wow.
don't miss that again.
I saw a report, a clip of him last night. I think he was talking to Robin Roberts, and he was saying his usual practice that he put on himself was he had to do a minimum of 1,000 shots, on basket a day.
Wow.
1,000.
Wow. He's an unbelievable competitor. So we wanted to get somebody from the sports world on to speak about this. And obviously our good friend Michael Barkan said absolutely. So we are going to welcome him from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Michael is here this morning. Hey, Michael, how you doing, man?
Good morning, everybody. You know what? I'm not as an early riser as all of you in your schedule. And it's kind of like you go to sleep, and I'm sure we've all had this in our lives. And you go to sleep and you wake up and there's that split instant where once you get up, you're like, everything's fine with the world. Everything's okay. And then you realize it all just comes flooding back and hits you right between the eyes. And that was the situation for me this morning. The Matt Cord introduction you played, I love Matt. He is one of the most brilliant public address announcers that there is, certainly in the NBA. But I don't know, I'm sure you know what Matt's shtick is that he will not introduce or announce an opposition member with any kind of gusto or fervor ever. You know,
that's Matt's deal. Yeah,
doesn't matter. Michael Jordan, Kevin Garnett, and Kobe Bryant too. Kobe Bryant, I lost it yesterday a little bit on the air as we were talking about it because Matt treated Kobe like he was a Sixer and then some in that introduction, and certainly so well deserved after what a career. My goodness, I just thought that was a. It was a beautiful touch. You couldn't have done it any other way but introduce him like that. And we remember that it was not all hugs and kisses between the Sixers fans and Kobe Bryant. I don't know that Kobe ever held anything against Sixers Nation. Certainly he's from here. But I think in 2001 with the NBA Finals, and he said, I'm going to cut your hearts out. And he also said words to the effect like, I'm really not even from Philadelphia.
Yep.
And some forget that. Not just the cut your hearts out part.
Right.
But I'm not really from here. I'm from L.A. now, and I grew up in the suburbs type of thing, which is what his detractors had said all along. And so that was all the fuel for the fire that anybody needed, and people went nuts. But through the years, as happens, the sharp edges get rounded off, and the peace is made. And appreciation really is seen. And this guy was just absolutely amazing. And when someone like that comes from where you're from, when he's in your midst, it's a really special thing.
Well, there's complete legitimacy to claiming him as Philadelphia's own in a way. Though obviously there were steps throughout his life, and he obviously ended up not playing here. Professionally, but still, you're right about time tends to round those edges, and there, as Kathy alluded to, there are things in his past. But the man of the present and the family man and the countless nice gestures that we're now hearing about. Sadly, a lot of times you only hear about them after people pass. you know, paints a picture of a guy who is really a family man and a guy who is ready to take that next turn and foster what appeared to be his daughter's pretty formidable basketball skills.
She looked to be amazing, and I did not see her play with any regularity. But I heard the quote you just played, the clip. I think it was Jimmy Fallon. But there was also one on from Jimmy Kimmel. And Kobe says that many would come up to him and say, "Oh, it's a shame you didn't have a boy so you can carry on the family mantle of superstardom." And his daughter would be with him and would say, "Hey, I got this.
Yeah.
I got this."
Yeah.
So, Michael, in 1996, I graduated from Conestoga High School, and they played Laura Marion twice a year. And my grandfather was a big basketball fan, and he said, "Listen, we got to go see Laura Marion when they play Conestoga." And it was because, obviously, of Kobe. And so Kobe would play in these high school gyms, and they won states that year. They were dominant. But every now and then, he'd get in a little bit of foul trouble, and so the coach would take him out. And slowly, Conestoga would kind of work their way back into the game and get the score a little bit closer. And then they'd put Kobe back in. And then, of course, Laura Marion would go on to romp and destroy. But, man, even in high school, even in 1996, watching him play, you knew that this was something special, and he went right from high school to the NBA. What were your first impressions of Kobe, and when did he first work his way onto your radar?
He first worked his way onto my radar when he was in high school. I was in 1996, we were living in Boston. We worked 5 years. My wife and I were up there. We worked at a television station up in Boston. I had been at Channel 3 and gone up there. And my father-in-law and mother-in-law lived in Havertown. They still do. And they live on Powder Mill Lane. And my father-in-law would go work out at the JCC on Haverford Avenue. And Joe Bryant, Kobe's dad, was, I don't know, he worked there at that time at the JCC. And my dad would go, my father-in-law would go in, he'd work out, he'd walk the track, and he talked to Joe. The two of them would kibitz for a little bit, and Kobe would be there, and not infrequently, and he'd be shooting at the baskets at the gym at the Jewish Center, and everybody knew that Joe Bryant's kid, that Jelly Bean's kid, was going to be a future NBA player, if not then some, and it turns out to be then some. And there's a park, a small little park, in Havertown. You walk down Remington Road, and the Bryants lived on Remington Road. You walk down Remington Road toward Powder Mill Park, and it's Wissahickon Creek runs behind. It's beautiful, beautiful spot, tiny park, and there's two hoops there. And Kobe would walk down there, ball under arm, and he would shoot from time to time down there. And those are the imprints that are left that we say, "Hey, Kobe Bryant, you know you're a legend." You say, "Hey, see that park right there? Kobe Bryant used to shoot hoop at that park." But I remember when we were in Boston, my father-in-law saying, you know, "Kobe Bryant, Joe's kid, did blah, blah, blah. He scored this and that." And then, of course, remember the R&B singer Brandy? Yeah. Took her to the prom. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big deal. I remember that.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was crazy. And then last night I got home, and Ben Davis himself, 1995 number 2 overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft. Ben went to Malvern Prep, and his senior year they played against Kobe Bryant at Lower Marion High School. And Ben sent Amy Fadul and her husband Sean Kane, who also is one of our producers, produces the Phillies pre and post game. And by the way, Sean said, it sums it up for a lot of people. Sean said, "This is the saddest I've ever felt about the death of somebody that I've never met." Mm-hmm. And I think that really sums it up. But anyway, Malvern Prep played Lower Marion, 71-64. Lower Marion won. And Ben wrote, "I hit 20 points that day." And he said, "Must have been the worst game I had all year," tongue in cheek. But Kobe had 36 against Malvern Prep that day. So, and there's stories like this, not just from Ben, but they're going on all around our area right now. And one more thing about him not being from Philadelphia, because we had Mark Jackson on, the Temple Star, former Sixer, Roman Catholic High School, and very close friends with the Bryant family and with Kobe. And he said this kid would come into Philadelphia, play on all the playgrounds, play at Augustine Lake Recreation Center with all the NBA players in the summers, and to me, that's a Philadelphia guy. I don't care if you're coming in from Lower Marion. If you're taking the courts in Philadelphia every single day, then you're a Philadelphia kid as well. So
Well, and there are a few pictures of him wearing like a McNabb jersey and then one with a an Eagles hat on. I don't know if that was after the Super Bowl win or what, but I mean, he seemed to still act as though he was from Philly.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, Kath. I think he thought he was from Philly, which is an important thing to note. And there's that video we've all seen by now, which his wife Vanessa took after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. He's holding their brand new daughter Capri, and he's geeked like the rest of us, running around his family room, going, ah!
It's the best. Yeah. And his wife has to say, be careful, you're going to scare the baby. But he was trying to contain it. His level of excitement is so huge. You can find. I wanted to ask you, his family and his dad, you mentioned his dad, they had sort of a protracted, I believe they lived in Italy for a while.
Yes, they did.
And then explain a little bit of the genesis that led him here to play.
Well, they were here, obviously. I believe Kobe was born here. Joe was still playing basketball in the NBA at the end of his career, and he wanted to try to extend his career, and he went over to Europe to continue to play. And he played in Italy for, I don't know, 5-6 seasons or so. And at such time that he felt his career was over, he gathered up his family, and they came back to the area. And they settled in Haverford Township, and Kobe ended up going to Lower Marion School District and Lower Marion High School. So, but while over there, I mean, he played soccer, was pretty darn good at it, learned Italian, spoke it fluently. I believe he spoke several languages, not just Italian and English,
wow.
but there were other languages. In fact, I think it was a Nike commercial some years ago that he did where he spoke only Italian in the commercial.
I remember that.
And it was just wild to watch. But the other thing is when you see him and you feel like you know him, and then you look at the stretch that his tentacles of fame had and how everybody felt that they knew him last night or early this morning at the Australian Open, which is the start of the Grand Slam tennis season in Melbourne. Nick Kyrgios, who is from Australia and who's a somewhat controversial player. He's a good player. Always gives it to Rafael Nadal. He walked out on the court last night with a Kobe Bryant jersey in tears. Mm. That's in Australia.
Wow.
And Neymar, the soccer star, who he is world renowned and World Cup star, Premier League. He played European League star. He went up to the end zone and flashed 2 and 4 on his fingers for and then a little prayerful bow to Kobe's memory. So, I mean, this is just far reaching. That's the kind of effect that Kobe Bryant had. And when you're from Philadelphia and you feel like you know him, even if you haven't met him, I think that there are many who are really hurting this morning and who will be hurting because Kobe's one of us.
So the juxtaposition of all of it I found really striking as well, because on Saturday night I watched, like many people did, watch the Sixers play the Lakers and play really well against the Lakers and win the game. But LeBron passes Kobe, all-time scoring list in Philly, wearing a Lakers jersey on Saturday night. Kobe immediately tweets about it, congratulating LeBron. And then, less than 12 hours in short order, Kobe's gone. And I was thinking about Kobe on Saturday night watching the game and what a great player he was and what a great player LeBron is. And then the next day, Kobe dies in this horrible accident. And just as a basketball fan, it just was really odd having those things happen in such quick succession.
Yeah, I mean, if someone can explain the meaning of that to me, Nick, someone, please. I'll never understand that. And also, before Kobe passed, I sat there and watched ESPN talked to LeBron after the game, and LeBron said, look, any conversation that includes Kobe Bean Bryant, I am happy to be a part of. But he talked about first meeting Kobe. He talked about being in high school and playing a basketball game in New Jersey. I think it was in Trenton, and it was the NBA All-Star game was Philadelphia. It was 2002, and LeBron and Maverick Carter, still is one of his best friends, drove down from New Jersey to I think it was the Four Seasons of the Ritz in Philadelphia to Kobe's hotel room, and Kobe took him in, and they talked for a while, and Kobe gave him a pair of his sneakers, and LeBron said Kobe was a 14 and I was a 15, but I jammed my feet into him anyway. I wore him out probably, and so there was that that side of Kobe as well, which I also think is important, that he, Mark Jackson said this last night during our coverage on NBC Sports Philadelphia, was that if you wanted to learn, if you were there because you wanted to learn about the game, that Kobe was all too happy to teach the game. And we had some clips of him at Lower Merion coming back. He was 10 years into the NBA, 27 years old. So certainly not a kid, but still a very young man. And he was just showing all these Lower Merion kids how the game's played, how to box out, how to get positioning on your guy. It was one little kid. He was trying to show them how to create space. If someone's on you, how to kind of get free to get your shot off. And this little kid is got the ball and Kobe's guarding him. And he's just telling him, what do you need to do? What do you? And finally, the kid just gives him a shove. He's like, that's it. And there was just a commonness, and I mean that down to earthness, about Kobe that was so special, and you don't see in superstars like that. And certainly with respect to being in Philadelphia, I mean, he was just Kobe. He was Joe Bryant's kid, and always will be. In the minds of many.
It's wild, you know, mentioning about the shock of hearing it and you know, going from the experience of having that milestone, his record broken the night before, and within 12 hours he's gone. But I've heard a number of people and a number of reporters and other people, for some reason, sports tragedies like this, an athlete in transit, and there's many stories, you know, many stories where this has occurred, and you know, statistically, you have that many people traveling that often, it's going to happen. But there's just something about this that sort of seems, destined to be, you know, sports lore and legend, and that he passed this way. And did it bring to mind any other experiences, you know, when other athletes have passed, and, you know, entire teams and stuff? It puts you in mind of all those and the feeling that you had when those events occurred. Did it make you think of that as well, Michael?
No, not so much that, Steve, but there was a sweetness of the relationship, certainly, and then some.
Yeah.
The relationship between Kobe and his daughter Gianna. There's another video that maybe you've seen that came out over the past several weeks, of the two of them sitting courtside. I don't know if it was during a game or during a practice, and they're leaning almost head to head.
Yeah.
Kobe's got his arm outstretched and he's pointing at some things on the court, and he's explaining to her something you would think about playing basketball, and see, watch when he does this, and see how the guy cuts this way, and see, and it's you know, it's just father talking to daughter.
A few people pointed out that she, as he was saying that, she started to complete his sentences,
right?
And he was so proud of that she was getting it.
Yeah.
The thing that was affecting me the most was this. Here's a guy who's still in the prime of his life,
yeah.
Past his professional career, but still as a human being in the prime of his life. But the thing that got me the most, here's somebody who's just starting out and has yet to live a life. Yeah. His daughter, the 13-year-old, at least Kobe had lived one of the most best lives you could possibly live.
Yeah.
And this girl was just getting started, and it's just a tragedy. And all the other people that were in that aircraft
as well.
It would
be just
heartbreaking.
Yeah, man. Preston, absolutely the last thing, the most horrific thing he could imagine would be this.
Yeah.
For him himself, I'm sure, you know, sure, he'd be, not that he'd be fine with it, but his daughter, no. And that's that really is what makes it so staggering.
Yeah.
It is. And it'd be, you know, when you think of that relationship and you think of how much love was there, and you think about the fact that he was taking her to, I believe they're going to the Mamba Academy, which is a basketball school that he had set up. When you think that they were going there with other parents and kids who were going to play, and that was just cut down and will never be again. It's just you can't even put it into words.
Yeah.
And as a dad, you know, and we are. It's a difficult thing to process. Connection, and I can only imagine his wife Vanessa and the three other daughters, and that's just a brutal thing to even conceive of.
Looking at his list of stats, Michael, and they're staggering. Is there anything that stands out to you more than the others as the, you know, I mean, he'll be remembered for so much that he did with the game, but is there anything that really impressed you as a broadcast professional?
Preston, that is an awesome question. And when you go to his page on basketballreference.com, and it right at the top, it gives you all of his accomplishments. And the one that strikes me most is 12-time all-defensive team, because everybody wants to score. Everybody wants the ball. Everyone wants to chuck it up from three or drive the lane or, you know, be a ball hog. That's all well and good. That's in all of us to a degree. But to play defense in general, mm-hmm. and then in particular in the NBA, that takes energy. That takes commitment. That takes passion. And this guy was a 12-time all-defensive player, 9-time first team all-defensive player. They judged him the top five guys in the NBA year in, year out. He only played 20 years. He's an 18-time All-Star. So I don't know if he made it his rookie year, but 18 times he was an All-Star, won the championship 5 times, All-Star MVP 4 times, including in Philadelphia. And by the way, you know, they gave it to him in Philadelphia. That was the year after the finals, and they lost to the Lakers in 5 games. And when he won the All-Star MVP award, played here in Philadelphia, he got booed by the fans, too. And there was hurt on his face, in my opinion. There was kind of a quizzical look, like, really? You haven't dropped that? You haven't forgotten that yet?
Philly fans have long memories, man.
I know it, Nick. But he accepted the award, and he still said, you know, this means so much to me to get this, to be home, and to get this award. He was thrilled. 15-time All NBA. Again, when you're All NBA, you got 10 spots. There's 5 first teamers and 5 second teamers. He's 15 times out of a 20-year career. Wow. He's All NBA.
Yeah, 20-year career with one team. And you know, I think as fans, we really have complicated relationships with athletes. Sometimes we don't know them. We think that we do. And I'll be perfectly honest. I really didn't like Kobe for a long stretch of his career, in part because he beat the Sixers in 2001, and he had a checkered past, and he did some things that were questionable, like we referenced. But the older he got, it seemed the more humble he got. And I think post NBA career seemed to turn into a really decent person. You know, we won an Oscar a couple of years ago, and so I think people forget that somebody like Kobe can evolve as a person, can become a better person. It seems to me that he did.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Here's the thing. I think he was always like that. I just think he had such a commitment to win and to be the best, and he was very Michael Jordan-like in that way, or maybe Michael Jordan was very Kobe-like in that way. You know, Michael Jordan used to fight his teammates, and Kobe would do the same if he felt they weren't trying to win, they weren't giving their all, they weren't showing themselves to be championship committed.
Well, to that point, Michael, you know, recently it was kind of, it weren't back and forth, but he was sort of complaining about Shaq and saying that he started to sort of cash it in a bit, and you know,
if they were in better shape, they would have won more.
They would have won more championships, yeah. And you know, so he trained at a higher level, and I guess that could cause friction, as you would imagine. But obviously, you know, that's all bygones at this point.
Yeah. Oh, it's all bygones. And you saw Shaq's tweet. Probably he talked about his brother Kobe being lost, and his niece Gigi, which was the nickname for Gianna.
Yeah.
And I think they completely buried the hatchet. I think there was always love between the two. They both wanted to win, but they were such huge superstars that they couldn't coexist peacefully in the same franchise. And I think Kobe, that drove him, that when Shaq left to go to Miami, get other championships, Kobe wanted to get championships without Shaq, and he got 2 of them without Shaq. So, when I saw Shaq depart, I'm thinking Shaq or Kobe. Shaq, or there's no way you, in my opinion, you wouldn't want to keep Kobe over Shaq, even though Shaq was a beast. Kobe could just do so many things, and we saw him do that. But the Dear Basketball, you mentioned, that won the Academy Award last year, and that was his tribute to the game. And when you talk about what he might have been, when you think that he wrote that letter, you know, to basketball, to the sport that he loved and loved the moment he saw basketball.
Yeah.
And He could have. Who knows what he would have been?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, Michael, we got to wrap. But you guys at Thanks NBC Sports planning anything special as far as a feature on Kobe or something like that?
Yeah, we were on the air for 4.5 hours yesterday. It was just amazing. All the recollections. I said Mark Jackson was just incredible. Al Abdelnaby, who calls the games with Mark Zuma, Zoo. Zoo was on. By the way, Zoo said first time he ever met Kobe was in L.A., and it was Kobe's rookie year. He figured he should introduce himself to Kobe Bryant from Lower Merion. And Kobe's like, hey, you're the guy from Prism that does
Prism.
He had gone to the locker room because he was looking for a connection. He needed a couple of tickets for the game. And Kobe says, don't move. Don't move. Stay right there. And Kobe just dashes out of the locker room. And he comes back a couple of minutes later with two tickets. And it was, again, another precious story. First time Mark Zumoff ever met Kobe Bryant. But tonight, 6:30, we'll be looking back at Kobe's life and times, his connection to Philadelphia. Sad day, but always happy to look at the exploits of Kobe Bryant.
Okay, Mike, thanks. We appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
Michael Barkan from NBC Sports. It's terrible. All right, well, we're going to take a break because we've got some other things that we do have to do. We have yet to recap some of the Grammy stuff. We'll get to that a little bit later on, but we do have Bizarre File and Easy Money.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, your chance to win $1,000. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We're talking with the one and only Philly car guy, Gary Barbin.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.